And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly programming combining arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives. You know, I got to get that down. I usually do. Perspectives Photography, right alongside Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our 2019 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this great historic building, please call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them for their generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager for our show. Thank you, Greg.
So many big thank yous to Greg.
Hey, if you're interested in being a guest on our show or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event or exhibit, or even appear as a guest, we'd love to have you on. Please email us, and we'd love to have that email coming in.
We want some emails, yes. Please.
Go to artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Hey, this program is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. By the way, you can hear our show archive usually up within about a day at breck.com/AOTA. That's BRECH.com.
He's being modest. It'll be up in a couple hours.
/AOTA. The biggest part is uploading it. If you come from my house, it takes a long time to upload a whole hour show. Now we're going to start our arts calendar, but before we do that, we just like to remind you that, you know, this is a community-supported station here. We rely on listeners to become contributors and underwriters, and we have several underwriters for this show, but this station relies on that. We have several underwriting levels, but if you'd like to help the station out, go to wvlp.org/support. We have several things that you can support, and one way you can support the station, by the way, we have an upcoming event called Stars Over Valpo. This is on Sunday, April 14th at 6 p.m., and it'll be at the Duesenberg Recital Hall at Valpo University. It's a $20 ticket, but it's a family-friendly entertainment, but it also will help this station. So if you're interested in doing that, contact the station. Any one of the people that work here, hosts, all the hosts, I'm sure, are out there husking tickets out there.
Yeah, we all have them.
Yes, we're going to try and make that happen. So that's one way to support that. By the way, if you want to support the station, like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel good being part of the WVLP family. Now we're going to go to Porter County and the Porter County calendar, and I'm starting off with Valparaiso University again, Brower Museum, going through starting April 9th to the 12th, a new juried student exhibition and senior showcase, and we'll actually talk about later in the show with our guests. They have an opening reception on April 10th at 7 p.m., so you can see that. At the Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12, and it's extended through April, is Irene Brown's, and she's the docent at the lovely depot. Anyway, her caricatures by Irene Brown are still on display there, and I guess that will be going on through the end of April. I just found that out from Irene herself. The Village Gallery, which is still has the Doris Myers exhibit, which opened on March 3rd. That will continue all the way through the end of April. So that's at the Village Pines Village Circle in Valparaiso. Chesterton Art Center has the Duneland Weaver Guild. We had Chris Acton, who's a member of Duneland Weavers, but they have a special fashion show on Sunday. The whole thing will be like from 1 to 4 on display, but they'll actually start the show at 2 p.m. So that's Sunday, April 7th, and so you can see that. Right after that, they will be switching to their Art Suite Art exhibit, which is a opening reception on the 14th of April from 2 to 4. And what it is, it's all the students of Chesterton Art Center who have done their artwork will be on display. So that will be that. Moving on to Arts Barn, they will have their 2019 children exhibit now running through the end of April 27th. Each year they have their children's exhibit to show what they do. These are kids that have taken classes there ages 5 through 18 and highlights all the things they've done. You can find out information from them online at artbarnindiana@gmail.com, or you can go to their website or Facebook page. They also are looking for their 26th annual juried art exhibition. It'll be running May 18th through June 27th. You can find out information about that. They're looking for drawing, mixed media, 3D, sorry, no photography, freestanding work and things like that. Early submissions are due by April 20th. You can make submissions by May first if you pay an extra late fee. So, and the theme of it is, and they also will be doing a class. Oh, that class is expired, so we're not doing that. And they also have open mic performances running all the time there. You can find out information on that. The next one will be April 26th. Duo Sequenza. They have been going all around, and they have their last concert in their series that they've been doing called Project Listen Up. Their last one is on Sunday, April 7th at 2 p.m. at Brick Across Gardens. So that's the last one of this current thing. We hope to have them on as guests sometime in the near future, but they're doing that. Artsy and Arts Antique, they're going to do Let's Dance, and it's beginning Wednesday, April 10th, 6 to 8 p.m. It's only $20 per person. You're going to learn tango, foxtrot, cha-cha, jitterbug. Hey, you don't even need to bring a partner. They'll supply one for you. How about that? But it's limited to 14 people. You can contact them at Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques. They're online and on Facebook. And I think that's all for Porter County. I think you've got a great list coming up for LaPorte County.
Oh, my gosh. I have lots of pages. So in LaPorte County, we have the Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way. They have hours Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Their phone number is 219-326-8626. The website is thaddeusc.com, and look for them on Facebook, Thaddeus C. Gallery. First Friday is April 5th from 5 to 8 p.m. in Michigan City. The Lubesnik Center for the Arts, they're exhibiting Nature Versus Everything. The exhibit runs through June 8th and features nine contemporary artists in a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. There is also a large-scale installation in the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into three colorful dimensions so that the viewer becomes part of the art. April 6th at the Michigan City Public Library from 10 a.m. to noon, there will be a family zine-making workshop. Families are invited to participate in creating zines featuring monsters, silly or scary ones. All materials are provided, and the families will have the option to have their zines displayed at the LCA during the Material Culture Exhibition. Admission is free to that program. April 27th from 1 to 5 p.m. The second Zine and Small Press Fest is happening at the Lubesnik Center. They'll have 30 independent authors, publishers, artists, and activists. Free admission to that. This is the first one was so much fun and so exciting. So I'm looking forward to the second one. Southern Shore Art Association. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street. They are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. Their April exhibit is Everyday Life in My World, and the opening reception is April 5th, 5 to 8 p.m., and the exhibit runs through April 28th. How many pieces, Larry?
I have four pieces in that one, so.
Be happy about it.
Oh, I am.
Visit their website, SouthernShoreArtAssociation.com, or their Southern Shore Art Association Facebook page. SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street will be exhibiting the watercolors of Pat Herman and Julia Holmas. Opening reception, April 5th, 5 to 8 p.m. There's a trend here. They are also a framing shop, and Christina is a really talented artist as well as a knowledgeable framer. Their website is sfcgallery.com and on Facebook, SFC Gallery. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 Franklin Street will have an April 5th opening for their exhibit Out of the Forest. Artists who are working in the medium of wood. Their hours are Monday 10 to 4, Wednesday and Thursday 10 to 4, Friday and Saturday 10 to 6, and Sunday 11 to 4. Their phone number is 480-216-2583. Their website is Rising, R-I-S-I-N-G, phxgallery.com, and their Facebook page is the Rising Phoenix Gallery. Look out for their interesting classes. It's a really charming gallery, and there's always really exciting things happening there. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting new work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. On Sunday, April 7th, is the Movable Art Feast, starting at 10:30 a.m. until noon. Both Rick and Suzanne will discuss their inspiration, ideas, and methods, and will demonstrate both painting and sculpture techniques. Then we travel to the Nest at 12 p.m. for more feasting. They can be reached at 773-206-0426 or on the web at blinkcontemporaryart.com, and Facebook is also Blink Contemporary Art. The Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street, is exhibiting the work of over 20 local and regional women artists, with both 2D, 3D work, plus a film of a live performance by Elise Kermani will be on view. It'll actually have sound this time. When we first previewed it, we had to have the sound off, but now the sound will be on, and Elise is a soundscape artist, so please come and view that. For First Friday, April 5th, from 5 to 8 p.m., we have a book signing for the book Saving a Century of Progress. And both Larry and I have seen that book. It's really, really wonderful. And this is just...
They were a great guest on the show.
They were fabulous.
And of course, Robin and I went to high school together. So, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
We had to use stone tablets back then.
Well, I will tell her you said that, so, when I see her tonight.
I may come see you tonight, too, because I'll be at the First Friday celebration, so I'll
excellent.
Pop in.
It should be a good one. So the book, Saving a Century of Progress, is filled with interesting facts and photos, all really beautifully designed, and it delves into the history as well as the current status of restoration. And in September is the tour of those houses, so this would be a really good preview if you're interested in fascinating true stories. Sunday, April 7th is the Movable Art Feast, and like I said before, it starts at Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street from 10:30 to noon with sculpture and painting demos, and then we travel to the Nest, where we will have a gathering of some of the artists in the exhibit. They'll be sharing their passion, their ideas, and maybe their process as well. Please join Blink and the Nest for an afternoon of discovery, community, and something good to eat. Rye Hook of Turkey Foot Farm will have farm fresh eggs and their maple syrup available for purchase. Going forward, the Nest will be the Michigan City place where Turkey Foot Farm's eggs, whoo, that's almost a tongue twister, can be purchased, as well as the maple syrup until the supplies run out. Ongoing in the Nest, we have weekly on Sundays from 1 to 3 a.m. It's Oil Painting Plus with Michelle Weiser. And the plus means if you would rather bring a watercolor drawing or mixed media piece to work on instead of oils, please do so. No painting experience, or to the most accomplished artists, they'll all benefit from Michelle's guidance. The first and third Monday of each month, the Singing Sands Toastmasters meet. The next meeting is April 15th from 6:15 to 8 p.m. Guests are always welcome. Be a better communicator and leader with Toastmasters. And we are ending our winter's hibernation and beginning the drum circle again. Every second Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m., April 11th is the next one. Don Wenig of Dancing Feet Yoga is the facilitator. It's always an exciting mix, as we are consistently surprised by who finds this group. Didgeridoos and all types of percussive instruments are welcome. Clapping hands, flutes, rattles, singing, and we've had lots of dancing as well. Every third Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. is the Mindful Fiber Artist Group. All fiber artists are welcome in all different fiber arts. Bring a project to work on or just something to show. Bunches of talent in this group, and advice is freely given. April 20th and every third Saturday of the month, we have one of my favorite days is the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! As the Master of Ceremonies, this is vaudeville meets show and tell meets open mic. If you have a talent, please come and share it with us. It's a terrific variety show, and we're always looking for magicians, dancers, filmmakers, actors, comedians, poets, storytellers, solo group musicians, TED Talkers, visual artists, digital artists. We have a great screen to show film on. We mean every kind of talent. Make the best house of cards. We want to see it. Sign up ahead to guarantee a spot. Also sign up. Night of performance is okay, pending time and space. On April 20th at 3 p.m., we will be hosting the third year of our poetry contest in collaboration with the Center for Creative Solutions to celebrate World Creativity and Innovation Week with the presentation of poems written by local students. Award certificates will also be given. And we have, again, I'm going to state again, we have tickets available for WVLP Presents Stars Over Valpo, Sunday, April 14th at 6 p.m. Tickets are $20 each, and it is a fundraiser for the radio station, and all the hosts have tickets, and it's a fun way to spend the evening and support community radio at the same time, and we so greatly appreciate it. We also have tickets for Swale Music Fest 2019 in Michigan City on Saturday, June 8th from 1 to 10 p.m., free for children under 12. And the details of all these events are on Facebook, The Nest Michigan City. And the best way to reach us is email thenestmichigancity@gmail.com or Facebook message us. Excuse me. Hours are Thursday through Saturday, 2 to 6, but most likely 7. Call 219-262-5200 or email ahead of time to be sure. As always, other times by arrangement. Bring friends, make new ones, stop in for a cup of tea. That's it, Larry, and it's a busy, active LaPorte County.
Yeah, it's too bad that there's not too much going on in LaPorte County there. I mean, you know,
there's
really.
There's a lot going on. It's waking up. It's spring.
Springtime. Okay, we'll move on to Lake County here. 119th Street Artists are sponsoring their annual Under 18 show. Runs April 9th through May 4th at the Cornerstone Art Gallery in the back of the Centier Bank on 119th Street. And this very well could be their last exhibit because they're losing their exhibit space. The bank has generously donated over the years, but I think they're looking to expand. So the status of 119th Street Artists is up in the air. I remember getting emails.
Yeah.
So they may look to combine with Studio 659, which is down the street from them. So anyway, they're located. You can find that information, 119thstreetartists.org, and they're also on Facebook. Moving on to other Lake County, we have the South Shore Arts, Arts in Focus. And that's a program they do, quarterly now, or maybe bi-monthly. And they're going to do Seriously Unserious Millinery Monday, and that's on April 8th. It's 10 a.m. It's a former pastry chef, Amanda Joyner, is going to put down her whisk and pick up her sewing needle and never look back. And she makes all these different things. She's been featured on television, major magazines, on the red carpet. You can see her. It'll be Amanda's Art in Focus presentation. It'll be examples of her work, along with a demonstration. Attendees are strongly encouraged to wear their fancy hats to the event, and it's free and open to the public, so you can just go there. That's at South Shore Arts, located on Ridge Road in Munster.
She's fabulous. I have like five of her hats.
Well, there you go. So, there's an endorsement from Esther right there.
Great.
Bachman Gallery continues to have Haunts. That will run through April 21st. John Kane curated the exhibit, and again, it's guerrilla photographers who went into various parts of Gary and other places, and the work that struck me the most was Dennis Crane's thing where he took actually aerial pictures from a drone as the teardown of the Star Plaza Theater and the teardown of the twin towers and everything like that. It was just, it's kind of sad, but you got to see that, and it was a beautiful display along with the other great work there. Atrium Gallery continues with Jane Wachowiak there. I think that's going to end this Sunday. Cafe Fresco, Brianna Mihalovic, continues with her exhibit through the end of this month, April 28th. The Region at a Glimpse, Artful Gardens in Crown Point. Kasia Sesanuski, Beyond the White Gardens, that will also continue through April 27th. Studio 659 in Whiting, worn out, worn in, well worn, gently used, handy, loving, exhausted. What a name for an exhibit. But anyway, that continues through, I found out they're actually going to extend this exhibit through middle of May. So it will run through the middle of the May. You can find out information about them at studio659.org or on Facebook, Studio 659. Yes, I do have two pieces in that exhibit. Miller Arts and Creative District, Polaroids by Julie Schwartz, and that will continue through this month. She had an opening earlier. What it is she takes actual Polaroid photos and physically, I don't know if you call manipulate them, not Photoshop manipulate, but actually physically alters them to be her work. So you can find out information about that. Miller B. Arts. You can either do that at by contacting Meg Roman at Miller Beach Art Center. They're both on Facebook and on the web. Area Artists Association, the Artist Narrative exhibit continues through April 24th at the Indiana Welcome Center. That's I-80-94 and Kennedy Avenue, the big welcome center there. There's 60 pieces from about 15 artists there on display through the end of this month. Yes, I do have four pieces in that exhibit, too. South Shore Arts Cooperative, otherwise commonly known as SLAC. They have Indifference and Ecstasy, Two Sides of the Same Coin, still continue at the Wild Rose Gallery in Griffith, or not Wild Rose Gallery, Brewery in Griffith. So you can enjoy that. I know Dorothy Graydon, one of our guests on the show, she has three paintings there that will go through April 20th. Best Art Exposure Gallery. They featured Megan Latta. This is a new gallery, north side of Maryville, like 53rd and Broadway, in an old Boost Mobile store. And he's just starting to get up there, open usually weekdays, but mostly like in the afternoons. And that exhibit will be running just through the 15th before they move on. It's a brand new gallery, so you know, give them some support. Finally, the Promise You Art House. Besides having their regular exhibits on sale, they have a private collection special event, Jack Penning Flowers and Bombs. And on the weekends only, and the last one is April 6th, you can go see some of his private work. You have to actually sign in, and they do one person at a time gets to look through his kind of private work there in what they call the Gallery C. So you can do that either by appointment. Again, Promise You Art House on the web, or you can find information. So that's pretty much what we got going on in Lake County. Again, if you want to contact us, you can do it at artontheair@gmail.com.
I have to say, I don't even remember the login information. Because there's just we need to have some emails. So
well, yeah, what Esther is saying is a lot of times we're going out mining the information,
we'd love
to have you send it in so we can do that. And I'm sending out emails to arts groups to do that. So anyway, if you can do that, again, you can support this station at wvlp.org/support and to support us in whatever. Well, our guest today, we talked a little bit about this in the arts thing, is Liz Werfel. She's an MFA. I like to call them like a doctor with without dissertation, ABD. Right? I actually think they should that. I have a DFA, actually, but I really think an MFA should be a doctorate. You know, they should give you the three-stripe robe and everything. But anyway, she got her MFA from Columbia College in Chicago, interdisciplinary arts and media. She's a filmmaker whose work has been made art, and we'll get into the information on that. She's currently an associate professor at Valpo University, and she's teaching those types of items there at Valpo University. And she collaborates with the engineering department thing. So we'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much.
And we also have one of the senior students she brought along, Mark Boas. Mm-hmm. He's an international student from the Netherlands. So he's painting and things like that. But we'll let you talk on, and we're going on time-lapse video. So welcome, Mark.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's first talk about Liz. Let's get some of your background. I kind of do the nuts and bolts here. So where you came from and how you got to where you are now.
Well, the where I came from story could be very long.
Well, that's okay.
Good.
We have some time.
We love those.
My dad was in the Air Force, so every 3 years we moved. Born in Florida, moved to Montana, got a lovely 3 years in England, one of my favorite places.
Okay.
Colorado, the Rocky Mountains.
Ooh.
Gorgeous. Michigan, the UP, so I know what pasties are, pasties. and then we drove to Texas, San Antonio, which was a great place too. And then I ended up at Valparaiso University for my undergraduate, and it's kind of a family school. We're not wealthy enough to actually have a building named after us, but they got a lot of our tuition dollars, let me tell you.
Well,
there you go. My mom graduated from there, and my older three siblings did, and then I did.
Was your mom connected to the region? Is that how she got there?
You know, I think it's the Lutheran school, so my dad's a Lutheran pastor.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yep. Boy, Air Force, now was he a chaplain in the Air Force?
Very good,
okay. Yeah. And he's retired now, I assume.
He is, although you wouldn't know it from his busy schedule.
Okay. What rank did he retire from?
Lieutenant Colonel.
Well, fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Valpo University, how long you've been there?
So I have been there teaching for about 13 years now.
Okay.
And at first I commuted from Chicago and then made the move to Valpo.
Smart move. That's a long commute.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Very good. And we'll talk about the student show, but Mark, just tell us a little bit about your background, please.
So I was born in the Netherlands and raised there. I lived in the same house for 18 years. And then I decided to go on a gap year program, which allowed me to study in the U.S. for 1 year as like a post-high school before I started a bachelor in the Netherlands. That ended up happening at Valpo. And I liked it so much that I changed my mind. And I became a full-time, like, bachelor or degree-seeking student. And now I'm, like, 7 weeks away from graduating. So that happened.
Congratulations.
I didn't move. I didn't have the interesting moving around story. But, yeah.
Very good. Now, is your degree, would that be a BFA or a BA?
Bachelor of Arts.
Okay, BA. Does Valpo have a BFA? Or?
Nope. We don't have a big enough program for that.
Oh,
although
too
we
bad.
Certainly have quality faculty.
Well, I'm sure. I have no doubt. You know,
absolutely.
It would be great to do that. So, okay, well, Liz, tell us a little about your artistic life a little bit, what you're involved with, what you're doing. And
yeah, so I actually, in undergraduate, I majored in philosophy, but I minored in photography. And I went on to do Peace Corps, and while I was in Peace Corps, I spent lots of my time with my camera doing photo collages of the post-Soviet state of Kazakhstan, where I was. And when I got back to the U.S., I knew I wanted to go to graduate school, and if I had the money, I would just be a student the rest of my life.
Oh, of course.
But I thought peace studies was one direction, and then art was the other direction. And my brother happened to live in Chicago, and so I got to move in with him for a few months to reorient myself. And so it was natural that I started applying to art schools there.
So with all the traveling, when did the... So I understand the whole traveling around and how that would lead to philosophy, but where did the art come in with all those travels? Was there a particular place maybe that sparked the, or was it a family thing too?
Well, my parents are very musically inclined, and I think lovers of art as well.
Yeah.
But I would say it was when I was probably 10 or 11 years old is when I saved enough money to get my first camera. And I don't even remember. Do you guys remember what it is? It's the long one. The film was very small.
Oh, the 110. Yeah. It's the 110.
110. Yeah,
the
yeah.
110. And not a very good camera, but you could make some interesting work with it. And so at that time, the one magazine that we would get is National Geographic. And so combined with the religious house that I was in and my love for photography, I had two career paths in mind. One was to be a missionary and the other to be a National Geographic photographer.
We all dream that
kind
as photographers.
They're somewhat similar, actually. Yeah. So,
well, I guess mine, too. I always wanted to be a nun, and then but, you know, who made things?
Yeah. You know, so. Okay, so I have to ask any photographer this. Are you a Canon shooter or a Nikon shooter?
So I was a Nikon, and I have a story about that that involves the Middle East. But I've moved over to Sony.
Okay. Well, you know, as you well know, so both Canon and I'm a Canon shooter, but Sony, both Canon and Nikon, better look out. Sony's coming up fast.
Yes.
The development of not to get off subject here, but the TLR camera is, you know what that is, right?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, the TLR, instead of having the actual mirror move, it's translucent, so it stays in place. So you still get the advantage
smart.
Of an SLR. Mm. And so they've developed that. Canon and Nikon have gone with the thing where they go to an electronic viewfinder.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I like that as well, but anyway, yeah, I'm a Canon shooter, so but I always have to ask photographers that question because Canon, when digital came, they sort of ruled the roost. A lot of Nikon professionals threw over their equipment because Canon took the CMOS sensor, which was developed actually by Olympus, figured out the electronics to it with their digiprocessor, and they just took off. So like. Longtime Nikon shooters throughout their equipment, but that's enough about that. some of the work that you actually do now at in your art, what types of things?
It's related to why I moved to Sony because I'm doing more and more video.
Okay.
So at the university, we have the Welcome Project, which is a story collection, and I co-direct it alongside Allison Schutte, my partner. And we collect stories from the region. So it started off as a campus project, quickly grew to the city, and now a regional one where we're looking at an initiative called Flight Paths. We're looking at the history of Gary and folks who were born and raised in Gary and some who stayed and many who were part of that white flight that happened in the late 60s, 70s, 80s, and continues now. So we're trying to capture that story through oral history interviews and then combine it with other kinds of historical research and geography mapping, things like that.
And if you haven't heard the Welcome Project, it's featured on the Lakeshore 89.1 FM, our local NPR station, which also, by way of disclosure, I'm on the board of directors, but I've heard it often. So it's usually featured during Chris Nolte's segment and everything like that. So yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, video, I can see how, and Sony's been a big video anyway, so that's a great transition. So, and then what else are you doing with the thing? What kind of art are you producing?
I know it sounds like your passion is all, so what you do personally is also what you're pursuing anyway, but do you have a discipline that's separate from?
Well, I would say photography is probably the one that I work most regularly in. And so that is both from, big black and white images, although I'm doing it digitally now. And then also just the daily practice of using my phone to document the places I've been and what I see, and keeping my mind curious and flexible to understand Valparaiso as a interesting place, no matter where you are, no matter the time of year. And my mentor and colleague, Amy Tomasek, is really good with that practice, too. And she calls that portfolio Another Day in Paradise. And it's just an excellent way to, you don't always have your nice camera on you, but you always, these days, almost always have a camera on you. So it's using that as a practice of looking at the world.
Just a quick break here. You're listening to WVLP's Art on the Air with Liz Werfel, a professor at Valpo University. And we'll get to Mark Boas, a senior art major. They're ready to graduate and be thrust out into the art world. So very good. So other projects, you did a short animation called The Four Hijabs.
Yep. So we worked actually with one of our students who had just graduated, who is very good at illustration, and she was the animator on that project, and that was with Silk Road Rising in Chicago, which is a great theater company, and it works to bring theater from the Silk Road, mostly Middle Eastern, but also Indian and Southeast Asian, to the stage on Chicago. And then they also do online video plays, and then this was their first go at an actual short video animation. So it's about hijab, the word hijab, and how it shows up in the Quran and the meaning behind it, which I think, especially in the United States, we tend to hear one thing through news media or friend groups, and it doesn't get at the truth of the matter. So it was exploring the topic of hijab through these animated characters.
So when you were speaking to the Syrian refugees, was it an immediate connection, or was there hesitation when you went in with the project?
Yeah, so that was interesting. So that was a separate project, the short documentary. We went, my friend Saddam, who now teaches at Valparaiso University, was a graduate student then, and another student at the time, Sarhang. The three of us went to a refugee camp in northern Iraq, which is where both of them were living at the time. Mm-hmm. And so we interviewed refugees for about 2 weeks in the camps. And that, it was very interesting. So I had some assumptions going in there that, first of all of the women would be wearing a headcloth. And that wasn't true. The Kurdish region and the Kurds are somewhat more secular. They're very deeply cultural in their Kurdish tradition, but their cultural attire is actually very different than what most people would imagine as Middle Eastern for women. And their practices, too. So you can find, certainly, the more conservative women who would wear a headscarf. And then there were some who were, they looked like Eastern Europeans, tight clothing, looking good, going out in the town. it's all sorts of people just like here.
So, we'll punt it over here to Mark. Now, you're going to be part of the whole senior exhibit, and we'll come back to Liz to talk about the whole exhibit. But talk about your work and what you have, first of all, up for your senior projects.
Yeah, so for my senior thesis project, I actually worked together with an organization that's been around in Valpo for quite a while called Project Neighbors. And they have a building, that's both their main house of operations as well as a residency for women, which is called Neighbor's Place. The two names kind of get confused in my head every once in a while. But and they actually gave me their lobby space to paint a mural in, because that's what I was looking to do. I was looking to paint a mural and kind of combine that as a two-part project where I would photograph the mural during the process and actually create a short animation video. So I was very fortunate and lucky to find a perfect-sized wall just off campus that I was able to bike to. It was I honestly don't know how it happened. I also have Liz to thank for that connection. It was a wonderful experience to kind of connect to this, as a student in Valpo, you don't have to get off campus. There's not a whole lot that encourages you to, because it's a great place to just stay on campus and have your own little life there. But it was really interesting to kind of get that new side of Valpo. And I had, like, had conversations with some of these women to kind of inform my design and, like, the process. Because the theme of the mural, it wasn't just, oh, like, here's a wall and I'm going to paint my own thing. I actually sought out to kind of portray both that space, you know, Neighbor's Place, as well as Project Neighbors as a larger organization. So that was it was a very interesting kind of journey.
So what kind of theme developed after talking with them and then your own input?
Yeah, well, that's actually good you say that, because the own input part was definitely interesting, because I spent a long time thinking about what to do, and it was, Liz can attest to this, it was a struggle, but...
Many months of struggling.
I actually went home to the Netherlands for winter break, and I went to an exhibit like a day before I was flying back of Dutch Caravaggisti, which they're like 17th century painters that were like followers of Caravaggio. Mm-hmm. And one of the more common compositions was this table scene. And I was, you know, having my audio tour, listening to it, and the voice started to tell me about this one character that was turned towards you with their shoulder, because it would place the viewer in the same space and encourage the viewer to imagine sitting at the table. And I was like, wow, that's really fascinating, like having somebody at the table. And I started to think about how I wanted to kind of convey, you know, what this community was like to outsiders. And I was like, well, I want them to have a seat at this table. And so I came up with a table scene that has a bunch of characters around it that represent different aspects of either Neighbor's Place or Project Neighbors as a larger whole. And spent a long time coming up with the composition, and then executed it in the most colorful way that I could think of, because one of the women, when I started painting, she walked up to me and she was like, oh, finally, it's no longer going to look like a hospital. So, yeah, that was really fun.
Is there have you an online portfolio where someone could see that?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
But video will be, so the video, the mural itself obviously is not going to move, but the video will be on display in the senior show. And by then, hopefully, I'll have figured out a way to kind of collect that all. Collect other work that I've created over the past 4 years here, but yeah, no, not yet.
Not yet. Well, what do you see as your, now, you know, you're just a few weeks away from being, yes, shot out the cannon from Valpo. My daughter graduated from Valpo with a music degree. It's not okay. Doing anything with music, but they should, which is many the case. But anyway, so what's your plans post-graduation?
My plan is to, first of all, you know, stay on my 2 feet after I graduate, because I'm currently kind of like shaking about it. But first, what I'm focusing on now, just to have, you know, some small thing to focus on, is staffing a summer camp back in the Netherlands with this international summer camp organization. There's actually a chapter in Michigan City. It's called CISV. And after that, though, the main plan for now is just to move back and get readjusted to living in my own country. And then,
what does that mean?
Well, so I don't know if you're familiar with terms like culture shock and reverse culture shock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, being here at Valpo, I'm always, and I consider myself like, you know, the Dutch student, the Dutch, you know, that Dutch guy. And it's a big part of my identity. But when you, you know, take a step back and see, okay, I'm turning like 22 next week. I've lived 4 years of those, like majority in the U.S. That's a pretty significant part of growing up, especially like my adult life. So that has had a significant impact on just my identity as well. And even after the first year, I had more trouble like readjusting to back home than I had coming here for the very first time. So, you know, going from having no relative anywhere near you and deciding your whole daily life to moving back in with your parents, that will be an adjustment.
Well, you know, for someone who comes from Holland, you have absolutely no accent whatsoever. It's amazing.
I try. Thank you.
No, it's absolutely, you know, if I didn't know that from the biography and everything like that, so that's great. So when you go back there, is there opportunities for like either advancement in education? Do they have an MFA program there or equivalent?
So I'm looking into a master.
Okay.
That industrial product design. But masters in the Netherlands are a little bit more specifically geared towards a specific bachelor. Right. Whereas I feel in the U.S. you have a little bit more
flexibility,
moving around.
Yeah.
So if I decide that I really want to go for that, I will probably spend next year taking like one or two classes to kind of get my knowledge where it needs to be to start that. Which I would do alongside a job to earn back money and all that stuff. But I think somewhere in the fall semester and then over winter break talking to my parents, I've kind of concluded that I wasn't going to obsess over having it all figured out because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, like, I wouldn't say ruin, but kind of lose sight of my last semester here just because I was freaking out over what right. comes after. So
well, and a lot of times with anything in the arts, music and things like that, and actors, they always said, well, this is my real job,
right.
and this is my artistic job. I remember yes. when I was working at the center, we had so many of the actors we hired that actually had other jobs than when they weren't acting. So.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not necessarily imagining my job to be, you know, specifically art-related necessarily. I have a lot of interests, so anything that I think would further my personal development, even if it's not associated to art, and as long as it earns me back some money, that would be
sure.
wonderful.
Would you follow Liz's lead here and be a teacher also?
I have always kind of considered teaching. I really, really highly regard teaching in the first place, so I kind of don't like calling it like a plan B because I feel like that downplays it, but it's not what I would pursue at first, but I have had people tell me, like, have you ever thought about this? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I have, but not right now, probably.
Yeah, very good. Well, back to you, Liz. We have this senior exposition on it. So what can someone expect in that? That's opening on Wednesday the 10th, I believe, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And another show is opening alongside of it, which is our juried exhibition of student work. So all of the faculty teaching in art get to select 7 pieces of their students' work for show. So they both open the same night. So I think if you go in there, you'll see many different mediums and approaches, including the education room in the Brouwer will have video and animation. And then the main gallery will be the juried student exhibition. And then the Ferguson Gallery will be the senior thesis show. And there are 4 seniors in that show.
Very good. And how many people, students are there in the whole arts program, visual arts?
We have about 40 majors.
Okay, well, that's a significant size.
That's healthy.
That's, yeah, we're doing
I think we could squeeze out a BFA in there. What do we need to talk to about
We need to hire a few more people.
Very good. Well, career-wise for you, without giving away anything, you think you're going to be in Valpo for a while? Are you looking anywhere else? Or?
Oh, no, I love Valparaiso. And I mean, I love my colleagues and the students in particular. So I don't envision moving somewhere else. In fact, I'm running for city council, so I better not move.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that would be something. I won, but I'm going, guys.
Yeah. I really like the university, and I think it has a lot to offer, particularly because of its small size. And so you get lots of one-on-one time. I mean,
I can attest to that.
Mark and I have spent lots of time together. And there are lots of ways of collaboration. So you had mentioned my collaboration with the College of Engineering. I mean, it isn't any school where you could do that. But it is here because you have personal relationships with faculty from across different departments and colleges. And so we were able to do lots of interesting things like aerial photography, submarine photography, motion capture, which is what they use to you put on a black suit with dots and you move around.
Oh, yeah.
And the cameras track your movement. So we partnered actually with the conducting professor, Dennis Friesenkarper, so that the conducting students would wear these outfits and actually be able to look back on this abstract version of themselves that was a cluster of dots and track how they move in conducting a piece. So it removes the kind of things that video does that, but when you watch yourself on video, what do you pay attention to? Your hair, your, right. you know, your makeup, whatever you're wearing that day. And so this removes all of that and just shows you your form in three dimension.
That's a great collaboration. And you're right. I don't think a lot of universities would have that as a priority. So very good. By the way, we're at Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, your weekly program on arts and arts events. You're listening to Liz Werfel and Mark Boas. She's a professor at Valpo University, and he's a senior about ready to get out the door there. So that's great. So how could you, if you had the power to do this at Valpo, expand the student base? How would you get more people there and then hire staff to do that?
Yes, well, the thing that...
You're the dean now.
So. Oh, great. Sorry, Kilpinen. He's a great dean. So actually, one of the things we are looking at right now is collaboration. But we already have a strong collaboration with the communication department. So many of our digital media classes also serve them and vice versa. And that's because photography, camera work, cinematography all cross over those disciplines. But the one that we're most interested in right now is the need for data literacy in our current upcoming generation. And so we're thinking about actually a three-department project with computer science, and so that we can get data visualization happening, thinking about the art of visualizing data so that a person who comes across a chart or graph or interactive graph can understand what it is they're looking at and be more literate about the kind of information they're getting on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm.
That's tremendous, that kind of interdisciplinary work that you do and everything like that. Do you have any projects coming up that you are artistically involved with? I mean, sometimes teaching will just about suck you dry as far as, you know, your art thing, but, you know, somewhere saying, oh, down the road here, I want to do something.
Yeah, so the main part of my work right now with creative work is the Welcome Project, the Flight Paths Initiative. And we actually got our second National Endowment for the Humanities grant with that. And we have gotten an Indiana Arts Commission grant for it as well. So lots of support both from the state and the national at the NEH level for that work. And so we have a big team. The digital team alone is 8 or 9 people. And then our humanities team on top of that, looking at this bigger historical trend in Rust Belt cities through Gary, Indiana as our kind of case study of that.
The stories are so interesting and compelling. And
thank you. Yeah, that's the benefit of working with storytellers from every different kind of life experience. I couldn't tell the stories, but they can.
Well, sure can. So, Mark, you're back in your homeland.
Soon.
And, I kind of want to go back to you talk about the kind of cultural adjustment back there. So explore that a little bit. You know, here you're
So what was the biggest shock when you came here with day-to-day life?
Oh, goodness. So much. I think... So one question that I often get asked is like, what do you miss the most? And before they finish that sentence, I respond with food. I'm like, oh, really? Not your family? No. Like I love them, but I can pull them out of my pocket and, you know, talk to them. But adjusting to just, and it's not, you know, American cuisine or something, but all these tiny different things, you know, the bread's different, the sizes are different, what you are expected to eat at certain times.
There's truth to that, because in Switzerland, I think I had the best bread ever, and the flour is different wherever the grain is grown. Yes. So
I'm keeping myself from just talking about bread for 10 minutes.
I love baking bread.
Yes. But, and then there's just, I remember, and this actually ties into the Welcome Project as well. I remember my freshman year, first week, we had a floor meeting in the residence hall, and I was sitting there, and the RA, the resident assistant, was talking about, okay, like, we're gonna, you know, have this community, and we're gonna talk about some community standards. And I remember thinking, community, I know like 3 people in this room, like, what do they mean community? Because I think that word and that mindset is very, very American. I'm not saying that the Netherlands doesn't have it, it's just not something that they like focus on in like actual discussion. And you know, here I am 4 years later, and I'm a resident assistant myself. So
and an intern for the Welcome Project.
So I really think, you know, that my my view on that has shifted dramatically, but that was just one of the things that stood out to me in terms of just a mentality difference. Same with people told me before I left, you know, when they say, how are you, they're not actually asking a question. And I was like, okay, we'll see. But it still took me like 2 months to figure it out that when somebody walks past you and they're like, hi, how are you? They do not care if you don't respond. And that the first time that happened, that I forgot to respond, but they didn't. I was freaking out. Oh, no, I forgot to ask them how they were. But they were just, you know, they kept on walking. And it kind of sent me down the spiral like, oh, my gosh, it really doesn't matter. And, you know, it's all those tiny things. Some of them, you know, I think are weird. Others I really enjoy. I think it's great that when I'm walking across campus, even if I don't really know someone, you acknowledge each other, might even smile. That would not happen in the Netherlands. I think we're a lot more
laid back,
reserved to ourselves. We're big on acting normal. I'm holding up quotation marks because what's normal, right? But that's a big. It's a lot of, you know, little thing upon little thing. And I've been here for 4 years. I love talking about culture with my friends, and even the friends that I've talked to from day one, like, we're never done talking about the differences both ways, you know. And sometimes they get very big and they turn into society and politics, and sometimes it's just, you know, what happens in your home, what's like family traditions.
We could almost do a whole show on that, Mark.
Just I could do a season on it, probably. Yeah, no.
Well, Liz, you traveled a lot too, so you have some different cultural insights, which was probably reflected in your work. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think some of the things that Mark's talking about in terms of culture shock, or what you learn from a culture, or in fact what you learn about your own culture that you hadn't realized before, that might be one of the biggest things that I think traveling other and living in other places will get you. And that's true of language. So I grew up in our K-12 system in the U.S., and Spanish was generally the language you could take in high school, maybe French. And in the high school I was at in the U.P., the school just over had a German teacher, but we didn't. But it's when fiber optic cables were kind of this new thing. And so they ran a fiber optic cable so that we could telestream into the German class.
Sehr gut.
Yeah, right? So that was my first experience really learning a language. But when I got to Kazakhstan, I then had to learn Russian. And my little bits of Spanish and German were the first things that came to mind when I was in those Russian language classes, intensive classes all day long. And
it's a hard language to learn.
Beautiful language.
Beautiful, yeah.
And so you're asked a question in Russian, and my response would be German, Spanish, English, and maybe a Russian word if I was lucky. But what it did is it actually made me a better English speaker and writer, because I started to understand the grammar rules that I had trouble understanding in you know, middle school, or didn't understand why we were being taught this, because you speak it and you write it. And so I think some of that understanding another language helped me better understand my own.
I know that's when I took German, and since English is actually originally a Germanic language, I learned. But the thing about English is it's also a highly adaptive language, so it's like I after E after I after E after C, except on Groundhog Day, I'm thinking how difficult it is to learn English.
Did you teach internationally?
No. So we did language schools in Russia. In Kazakhstan, in the town I was in, we would hold English language learning. And then in China, the university actually sent me to Beijing to teach there. So I was teaching VU classes in China to Chinese students who would then come here into our program. So not the same kind of teaching as I think you would if you're an international teacher.
If I can add on to Liz's point about, you know, becoming more aware of English by learning other languages, I also think, you know, English being by my second language and having learned it more formally, I realize that people are sometimes like surprised by me having random like vocab words that they wouldn't use, or more formally like being aware of what's the correct way of, you know, writing something out. And I think it's because, you know, I'm taught those rules. Not that I remember any of them. Like, at some point, it does. Like, when you're fluent, you're not going to think about rules anymore. You're just, you know, what sounds right. But I think because that's how I started, I'm like, yeah, that stood out to me when people would be like,
your language is more pristine. You can just tell by being in the room with you. Right, yes. Right, thanks.
Very good. Well, with the exhibit coming up on April 10, tell us some of what we'll be looking for if we come to it. And it's open to the public, correct?
There's it no. It is. Please come.
Okay. And, everything.
And you'll even get a snack afterwards.
Oh, well, there you go. So come to Valpo, the various things. So what are the different kinds of work we'll see? How many seniors will we have in the exhibit?
Do you want me to talk about the other seniors?
Yeah.
Okay.
So because since there's only four seniors, I think I can say that we've come pretty close. You know, we have our own little chat group, and it's really interesting because none of us are doing anything that is similar to the other people. My friend Megan, she's working completely with fabric and clothing. She started out by wanting to teach herself how to sew, and it just evolved into this big piece that deals with, you know, clothing and women and society and kind of all those kind of topics tied together. I think it's very relevant. And then my friend Drake, he really focused in on design, and because that's what he loved and he wanted to do something with that. And he really got intrigued by this idea of getting people's attention and getting people to look away from their phone. So he made all these posters, inspired by a different art style, and then in a foreign language, because he loves languages. He's crazy with languages. In foreign language would make these different flyers, and they've been all over campus since beginning of semester, and he's creating one big final collage in the Brower. And then the fourth senior piece is my friend Ashley, and she has worked with photography and dealing with mental illnesses, mostly in, like, generalized anxiety. She held interviews with people and kind of sought to visualize some of the things that were said. So those are kind of the four senior projects. Now the student art show, that, or the student, like, student work, that's just all the kind of different art classes that there are. Like, there's jewelry, there's graphic design. I really love ceramics, drawing. I don't know exactly the class that are being taught this semester, but it's really, really fun, really eclectic.
One other question I had about, would you ever think about coming back to the United States? And
yes. The one thing I did tell myself is that I didn't want to live here, you know, forever. But I'm definitely I think I got a taste of just living internationally. So even if it's not the U.S., it doesn't necessarily mean I'll stick to the Netherlands. But no, I'm definitely keeping my options open, especially with, you know, the people. I think Liz talked earlier about the strength of Valpo being, like, the people, both faculty and students. So, you know, I'm kind of leaving this network here that will be on this side of the ocean. So definitely have reason to come back.
Do you have siblings?
I do.
And do they travel internationally for school?
They do. One of them is actually currently in Grand Rapids, Michigan for the same one-year program. He's only staying the 1 year, though. He's not going to be crazy like me. And my sister is studying in the Netherlands.
Very good. Well, we only have about a minute and a half left. So, Liz, anything else we should know about you, the project, the exhibit? Or
I think it'll be a good night. We also give, for the juried student artist show, there are 5 awards this year that will go out, and those are being juried by actually Melissa Washburn.
Well, yeah. The former host of our show. Right. How about that? Fantastic. She was here just earlier in the studio, so great.
A big thanks to Greg and Gloria. They always work really diligently and collaboratively.
It's the best museum. Yeah. And
so much effort.
They're incredible.
Even with the seniors, so much. They're always helping.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to wrap that up with Liz Werfel, the professor at Valpo University, associate professor. Eventually, we want to make her professor. So, Dean, if you're listening, let's work on that. And Mark Boas, who's a senior art major, he'll have that. The exhibit is on Wednesday, April 10th at 7 p.m. at throughout the Brower Museum and the whole area there, so you can go see it. It's free to the public, and you can get a snack. Liz promised that. So, you've been listening to Art in the Air. We'd like to thank our guests today. We're heard every Friday at 11 a.m. Rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. with your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden.
Aloha.
Yes.
Well, you know, again, mention Stars Over Valpo.
Well, and Stars Over Valpo, yes, you can get tickets. That's coming up. Well, I left my thing. That's following Sunday. Here we go. On April 14th, Sunday at 6 to 9 p.m., Stars Over Valpo. You can get tickets. I'll also be at Valpo University in the recital hall. $20 tickets. It'll be a great thing. Next week, we have Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang.
My mentor from Columbia College Chicago.
Well, you know, we just planned the guests around that, didn't we? So anyway, thank you so much for listening. Again, Art on the Air, 103.1 FM. You can see our archive at breck.com/AOTA. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you. Aloha.